Welcome back. As the world continues to monitor the latest on the situation between Russia and Ukraine, our next guest joins us for more analysis on the tensions. Hagar Shamali is host of Oh My World on YouTube, former spokesperson for the U.S. mission to the U.N. under President Obama, and former Treasury spokesperson for terrorism and financial intelligence at the Treasury Department. Hagar, thanks for joining us. As things stand now, the U.S. has unleashed sanctions on Russian financial institutions, sovereign debt, and some individuals, and now today also sanctioned the company behind the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline and its corporate officers. How much will these sanctions impact Russia at this point?
The bottom line of these sanctions is that they are very tough. Russia will feel the financial pain. The question is whether they're going to be enough to change President Putin's calculus, and that's probably unlikely. That said, the goal you can see of these sanctions communicated by President Biden and the Treasury Department by Secretary Yellen is in part to rally partners around the world to join us in these sanctions. So you saw the EU had really tough sanctions, and that says a lot because they require consensus from all their members to impose those sanctions. One of those members is Hungary, the prime minister of which is very close to Russia. So it says a lot that they did that. And of course, the sanctions imposed by Germany on the Nord Stream 2 pipeline will rob Russia and the Russian government of billions, that's with B, billions with a B, of dollars in lost sales in gas, right? So these sanctions are definitely tough. The sanctions you mentioned from the United States are on two really important big banks, banks that are worth total of $80 billion. One of them raises financing for Russia, and the other one backs all of its defense efforts, right, and military efforts. So those banks are huge. And oligarchs are really important because those are the few men in Russia who have the power and wealth who help prop up President Putin's regime.
And more broadly, how delicate is the tightrope that Biden needs to walk when it comes to imposing enough sanctions at this stage to deter further Russian action in Ukraine, while also leaving some sanctions on the table should things escalate further? Do you think this is occurring right now at a rate that does balance those two sides?
This is a great question, actually. And so, you know, a lot of the rhetoric you saw yesterday with regards to these sanctions was that, you know, that the people were a little bit disappointed because it was missing some of the sanctions that a lot of us experts expected, things like export bans on technology being sold from the United States to Russia that would go to support its oil and gas industry, that would support its mobile sector, its efforts to diversify its economy, and certainly more efforts on Russian oligarchs. Now, like I said, the sanctions yesterday were very tough, and Russia will feel the financial pain, especially as time moves on. My own opinion is that in response to an invasion of a sovereign country, which this was, and that is a big, big deal, the sanctions could have been a little bit stronger, in my opinion, and you still could have sanctions remaining to continue threatening that, right, to dangle those sanctions to deter future behavior. But at the end of the day, we're trying at this point, once an invasion happens, it's no longer so much about deterring future behavior, although that is an important goal. It's really about walking this back, right? I mean, this is, we don't want President Putin to seize this land in any way or to annex this land. And that's the path that it's looking like. So to answer your question about the balance, they are very tough sanctions. Sanctioning Nord Stream 2, the pipeline, is the biggest one of them all, and Russia will feel the pain. I do think a little bit more could have been done in response to an invasion. An invasion is a big, big deal.
Oh, and there has been a lot of speculation about how much we are going to see in the way of disruptions to the global energy markets. And Biden said in his speech yesterday that he wanted to limit the pain that Americans feel at the gas pump amid these geopolitical concerns. Now, how much of an increase do you think the administration might be willing to tolerate for the American people in the event of any energy supply disruptions due to sanctions or otherwise?
Right. You know, President Biden yesterday in his speech, he made a comment that I thought was really interesting, saying that there's a price to pay for democracy. And what he was alluding to, I think he was alluding to many things, but one of them is a potential increase in energy prices because of these sanctions, right? And where you really have this starting out is Europe. Europe is going to feel the pain the most, that they are going to see an increase in prices, in particular in Germany. That Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Germany stood to benefit enormously from that pipeline. They were going to import very cheap natural gas. It was going to heat millions of homes in Germany. They were going to import 50% of its gas through that pipeline. And that now is gone. And so they're going to have to go look for another source, right? Likely Qatar or somewhere else. And so And not only that, but they're going to have to build the capability to accept that gas. Russia also holds leverage here over Europe because Europe imports 40% of its oil and gas from Russia. So that's something that Russia could cut off in retaliation for Europe's sanctions or any other moves. And if that happens, you are going to see an increase in prices. When President Biden said that he's going to try and make sure that we don't see an increase in prices at the pump, it said he's going to go to all of the producing countries and ask them to increase production, right? Countries like Qatar and Saudi Arabia and others. And my assumption, having been on in the inside in the White House, is that he has already done that. I don't know the outcome, of course, we don't know yet. But if prices increase in Europe and they are looking to buy more gas, that is going to have an effect on the price of gas around the world.
And I only have about 30 seconds with you left, but real quick, given where we are right now, what would be a reasonable best case scenario to come out of this that does actually de-escalate the threat of further military action?
So the positive side of sanctions in general is that you give yourself a bargaining chip for future negotiations. And really, over time, you end up financially crippling the target that you've intended. And in this case, one of the benefits of that is financially undermining Russia's military to prevent it from pursuing similar behavior, right, and similar attacks or perhaps going further into Ukraine. The only way out of this at this point, the two things that will stop President Putin are either military threat, and that's why Europe and NATO and the United States are arming the Ukrainians. Many have said that we should be arming them more, so I'll expect to see something more from the Pentagon on that. But also negotiations and diplomacy and trying to figure out where we can meet and compromise on certain military equipment or assets in the region that would perhaps quell some of Russia's security concerns without giving in to their extreme demands related to NATO.
All right, Hagar Shamali is host of Oh My World on YouTube, former spokesperson for the U.S. mission to the U.N. under President Obama, and former Treasury spokesperson for terrorism and financial intelligence at the Treasury Department. And we thank you so much for your insight this afternoon.